Joined now on the Hy-Vee Radio Coaches Corner on KIA KRLS, we are talking to Knoxville boys soccer coach Dylan Mick. This interview powered by Hy-Vee. Well, Dylan, it's only been a couple weeks. This is not used to going as long, but blame the basketball season. What a season that was. You were a part of it. I got to see that from the sidelines and kind of compressed your off season a little bit.
Yeah, I only think, we were up at State and we were there till the championship night because Joel was being honored. So I attended every day of State, and typically, since about 2017, we've made that first round exit, and I'd get about two weeks between last basketball game and first day of soccer practice. And this year I got about 3 days. So no complaints, though. If it were that compressed every year because our season ended where it ended, I'd be happy to be ending the season and then turning around with no rest and getting right to it out here on the turf.
And you got a few guys that you spent the winter with out here, so they were in the same boat. Let's talk about this. It's very senior heavy this year for the guys.
Absolutely. This class of seniors have been contributing at a varsity level for about 3 years now. They've played in back-to-back sub-state finals. We're leaning heavy on these guys that they've played. I mean, Ezra Schmidt, unless he got a card, he typically didn't leave the field. Max Magana, same sort of deal. Unless he got a yellow card, he hasn't been off the field in about 3 years. Like since their freshman year, they really haven't left the field for us. So we've got guys like that that are leading us. They're experienced. They know how we want to do stuff, and their goal is to not end in a sub-state final this year, but maybe a state final type goal for them. So that's what we're chasing.
And that's been the last few years. It's been just getting there to that sub-state final and then not getting over the hump. Do you think maybe basketball, totally different sport, but some of these guys saw that sub-state game and saw all the celebration and went up to Wells Fargo. Do you kind of think, oh, hey, we can do that too?
Well, and, that was – I kind of joked with Joel and Blake that the state made the switch this year to if you play well enough in the regular season, you get to host your sub-state. Well, that's been the rule in soccer for as long as I've been a coach, I think, that the top seeds get to play at home until the state tournament. And so – last year we were a 2 seed in our district, and getting over that hump by kind of performing early in the year to where if we can get that 1 seed and we've got a game to go to state on our field, that's how you want to do it. I mean, I think that was one of the most special things in my whole 15 years as a coach was how packed that gym was playing at home to go to a state tournament. I don't think there's a better feeling. When we went in 2019, I think we kind of turned Pellis Stadium into our home stadium with the amount of people that were there. But, the idea that, hey, we're going to be at Randy Wilson Track and Field and plan to go to state, that sounds good. That's what we're really going to grind towards and work towards early in the season.
Could you imagine the stands full? You didn't have that last year. Now you got the full grandstand press box on both sides. What's that like playing? You saw some football games, but with your soccer guys looking up and say, wow, this is a pretty cool facility now.
Absolutely. We got the big scoreboard last year, and about, I want to say with 3-4 games left, they finished the visitor side bleachers, and they were like, is that what they're putting up for home games next year on our side? And I said, no, it's actually going to be even bigger. And all of them kind of say, we want that thing full for a game, whatever game it is, we want to see that thing as full as possible. And so they're amped for it. They're excited. Me as a coach, it's great having like a true grandstand. When we scrimmage full field, I'll go sit up right underneath the press box and watch so that I can see kind of how they're operating on the full field. And I'll be, yelling down to Steve on the sidelines kind of, hey, this is what I want to see. Move this guy here. And it's the upgrades that we've made to the facility are incredible.
Talking to Dylan Mick, Knoxville boys soccer coach on Hy-Vee Radio Coaches Corner on KIA KRLS. Let's talk about some of your supporting cast players. I know depth, a little bit of a concern, but you still got some good athletes that are playing behind these seniors.
Absolutely. We have a strong senior class. We've got a really strong junior class as well. We've got about, I think, in our starting lineup, we'll have, I want to say, 4 of our 11 will be juniors. And then coming off the bench, we're going to have 2 sophomores. But Brody DeYoung, I mean, Drake Larson's a captain. He's a leader out there. He's a guy that does – he pays attention to detail, and his whole focus as we're doing stuff is I need to do each rep correctly. I want to do it right, and that's why he's a captain. He's a leader for us. Cale Cook has played varsity for the last 2 years, you know, seeing him grow and get physically stronger. He's ready after, you know, we lose Connor Willis, we lose Jay Keller. They kind of played the same spot that Cale plays. They're ready to step into a larger role. And Brett Waters last year was absolutely – him and Ezra are kind of the dynamic duo in the middle of the field. And Brett has gotten stronger. I don't know that he's grown a whole lot, but he's kind of the little guy in the middle that if somebody makes a bad touch or makes a mistake in the middle of the field, Brett's ready to pounce on it and make other teams pay. And that's so fun when you have a midfielder like that. So these juniors are ready to kind of – carry a big chunk of the load too, for sure.
Your goalie has been your goalie for quite a while, Carson Cecil, and you really are high on him, and he's one of the better ones in the area.
Absolutely. He, you know, as a sophomore, he was named to first team All-State Coaches Association. He was first team All-State in the Des Moines Register's Elite All-State team. They pick six kids per class, doesn't matter what position, they just pick the six best players, and he was the goalkeeper for class 2A, and he's kind of a rare bird that you don't see kids like that put in the work that he has. He's played select, he's traveled all over, he truly works on perfecting his craft. He's a heck of a baseball player too, but when he's not during the summer, it's funny, he'll be at baseball and then I'll drive by at 9:30 at night after a baseball game and he'll be out here by himself with one of the benches turned over on its side, kicking the ball at it, diving, working on his craft just to become a better goalkeeper. And when you've got a guy like that in the net, there's not a game that you go into where you think, oh, we don't have a chance. It's, we think that if we go in against anybody, Cease is going to keep the ball out of the net and we're going to have a fight. And, you've always got a puncher's chance, whoever we're playing against, so.
One big rule change that everybody will have to get used to, and I think I get the impression you love, is no more overtimes in the regular season. So if it ends in a tie, you've got that tie now. How's that going to benefit your team?
With us just being a smaller school, we don't have the squad size that a lot of larger schools that we try to play that they have. Looking back, this is my 13th year, 12th season as the head coach, and all the games that we've had go to overtime. We got a decent record in overtime and penalty kicks. Like, we're not bad at those things, but what you really see the ripple effects is our next game after we played an overtime game, almost always it's either a game that we don't even come out and compete real well in, or if it's against a team that's maybe doesn't have the firepower that we have, it's a closer game than it should be type deal. So the idea of, hey, it's 80 minutes. We know it's only going to be 80 minutes. Give it everything you have for that 80 minutes. That's a lot easier to prep for, to keep guys healthy, keep guys in shape for. And, there's always obviously I'm a big global soccer fan. So, ties to me, that's fine. That doesn't bother me a bit. When some of the guys found out, when I told Ezra and Drake's instant reaction was, ugh, we can tie? And I said, well, think of it this way. If we play three 4A teams and we tie two of them and win against the other one, those ties are as good as wins. Now, if we go out and we play a 1A team that we've historically beat all the time and we end up tied with them, that's going to feel like a loss. It's very easy for some ties to feel like wins and some ties to feel like losses. And, there's a kind of an upside and a downside to it. But I think overall for the high school game, it's going to be a positive because it's an easy way to keep kids healthier and kind of build off things.
Speaking of bigger schools, you start out with one next week, Southeast Polk. Chance, if you tie them, fine. If you beat them, even better.
Absolutely. It's a chance to go out and – they historically they're kind of up and down. They've got a really good coach there. He's works hard at kind of building the program from where it was when he got there. And they're definitely going to be a tough team. They're going to be a challenge. But early on, I mean, we want to see as many tough competitive teams as we can, because we're trying to measure ourselves against the best in the state, because we want to play against and beat the best in the state, and that's how you get to the state tournament.
All right, Dylan Mick, good luck to you this season.
Thanks, Derek.
That's Dylan Mick, Knoxville Boys soccer coach, on the Hy-Vee Radio Coaches Corner. This interview powered by Hy-Vee on KLIA KRLS.